you agree, would you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. Praise God. Let me also remind you that on Saturday, December 22nd, we're going to be partnering with a group there in Washington at Washington Park in Hollywood, where we're going to be just kind of passing out toys and so forth for families in need, you know, this Christmas. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can register. I believe there's something that they can register at our IC Eventbrite. You can register for that. And then if you'd like to get in on helping to provide some of the toys, you probably noticed a big old Christmas box out there in the foyer. Regal Theater didn't put that out there. We did. Because if you like to donate some toys, you know, towards it, certainly encourage you to do so. If you're out shopping for your kids or nephews or grandkids or whoever it may be, you know, pick up a little something extra. And when you come on next Sunday, you can place it right in the box there. And we'll use those toys along with some others just to be able to be a blessing to these families. We are here to make a difference. Come on, give me a stronger amen. We're here to make a difference. Yes, yes, glory. All right, let's get into what God has for us on this Sunday morning. So I want to deal with proper touching on this morning. So somebody says, if you're going to touch, do it properly. Absolutely. So let's go right into Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34. It says this. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the Sea of Galilee. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when Jairus saw Jesus, Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Jairus understood something, that what Jesus had was sufficient to be able to transform his daughter and to cause his daughter to live. Yeah. So he says, if you can just come and lay your hands upon her, she'll be healed and she will live. I got news for you. God wants you healed and God wants you living. Yeah. Somebody say, I receive that. I receive. Absolutely. Jairus understood that. But then right in the process of this, we keep reading, says verse 24, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I mean, everybody, there was always crowds of people around Jesus during this time. Says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, watch this. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and did what? Touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt or knew in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Yeah. Now watch this. I love this, you know, for various reasons. Here's a particular case where Jesus is going with Jairus to his house. You should read the latter part of that too, what he does when he gets to Jairus' house. And he's on the way there, and on the way there, this woman that's been dealing with an issue for 12 years shows up and reaches out and touches Jesus' clothes. Now, specifically what she touched was his prayer shawl. And she's making this declaration as she's on her way, pressing into Jesus. If I can just touch but his clothes, I will be well. It says when she did, immediately, not a little bit after, but immediately the fountain of her blood now, all this dried up. It says she knew it. She knew in her body. So now Jesus stops and says, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody just touched my clothes. Now you got to keep the picture in mind, because there's a bunch of people touching Jesus. So the disciples, I love these guys. They're like, Jesus, what in the world are you talking about? What are you talking about? Somebody touched you. Everybody's touching you right now. Let's put it in these terms. I mean, they're looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, you mean to tell me I left my fishing business and the like for this guy asking an obvious question like that? Who in the world said we should be going with Jesus? Talking about who touched me. But what Jesus was asking, although there were tons of people touching him, he recognized Only one person has touched me properly. There's a proper way to touch God, and there's tons of improper ways to touch him. We keep reading, and it says here, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, listen, this is real key. I love this. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Jesus says here, oh boy, let me paint the picture because I don't want to go into this in a whole lot of detail. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. He doesn't even know the woman is there. There's a bunch of people grabbing hold of Jesus. So he's not really paying attention to who's touching him. He doesn't know any of them. But then somebody touches him the way, watch this, he touches others. And it stops him in his tracks. He says, wait a minute, who touched me properly? Who is it that did this? This woman came and got from Jesus what she needed from God, and she didn't pray the first time right here. She recognized he has what I need, and I'm going to get it. She didn't pray like, you know, we would think, this is how modern day Christianity would teach us, that we would get there and be like, dear Lord Jesus, if you would be so kind and generous in your power and grace to bestow upon your humble child healing grace and virtue. For I've been dealing with this for 12 years. That woman didn't say nothing like that. She understood. He has it. I'm going to get it. Come on, say it with me. Say, he has it. I'm going to get it. Well, just like that woman, God has it for you. Question is, are you going to go get it? Now, to go get it, you have to touch him properly. You can't touch him any kind of way. You can't touch him maybe how you were taught, you know, growing up as a child. You have to touch him the way that he has ordained and laid out. It says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I got news for you. Her faith is no better than the faith you and I can walk in. So if her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. Amen. Now this is the part right here where religion kicks back, because it makes us take the responsibility. And people, we don't like that. We'd rather blame God or the devil and say that's why I'm dealing with this. Well, there could very well be a challenge from the enemy, no question about it. But any challenge that the enemy brings, you have sufficient faith to overcome it. So again, we go back to her faith made her whole. Your faith makes you whole. Come on, say it with me. Say, my faith makes me whole. Now notice what the introductory statement says here in your notes. And again, the notes are on the app, or we have the printed notes available as well. It says, the way we touch God determines what we receive from him. I want you to really hone in on this. The way we touch God determines what we receive from him. What we receive from God has been influenced and set on course by how we touched him. The way we touch God determines what we receive from him. Be careful not to use things like hope and tears, intellectual belief, religious tradition, mental assent, or intense desire to approach and touch God. These things may be okay, but they are not the proper way to touch that releases the blessing and glory of God. They're not. Now I'll share this with you, honey, if you come for it. Now this is my wonderful, you know, lovely, beautiful wife. 17 plus years and rolling. She don't even look much over 17. I tell you, everybody think I done robbed a cradle or something. Praise God. Glory to God. It's got me a young tenderoni. Some of y'all know about tenderoni. You just dated yourself by laughing. Now, when it comes to touching, where my wife is concerned, if we just had a heated exchange, you know, as husband and wives can do, and I don't care who they are, every husband and wife has a heated exchange at some point in time or another. Can the married folks go ahead and say, show you're right? Yeah, no question. Everyone. So we've had them. We've had them. So now, in that heated exchange, what happens if I decide I'm just going to grab her by her arm and snatch her over? You better get over here. How do you think she's going to respond? She's probably going to be like, Negro, what is wrong with you? You don't handle me that way. You're not my father. You know how the kind of stuff we say. What I'm getting from her has been determined by how I handled her. Now, if I touch her, you know, in a disrespectful way, that was disrespectful. But another example would be, you know, I've seen this. This is very sad. I've seen, you know, a spouse, you know, kind of poking, you know, the other spouse in the head. Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What kind of response do you think I'm going to get? So now watch this. I get a response that's not pleasant. I can't complain about that. I can't be like, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? She's going to say, I'm acting that way because of how you are handling me. How we touch God determines what we receive from God. Now, on the flip side of that, if I handle her gently, just get me on there. Now, yeah, thank you. Walk right up here for me. I got a seat for you. Please, right here. Yeah, I got you. Go ahead. Yeah. See, now, if I handle her gently, if I handle her, you know, nicely, I get a completely different response. So you'll see here in a minute, she can't hold back the smile because of the love. Say, oh, we got you on camera. I'm getting a completely different response because of how I'm touching her, how I'm handling her. How we handle God determines what we get from God. This woman with the issue of blood understood that. So she goes and she touches God a certain way. She touches Jesus a certain way. While everyone else was touching Jesus, there were many people touching him. Many people touching him. That's why the disciples said, why you ask a silly question like that? It says, because somebody touched me properly. And as a result of them touching me properly, they accessed something. They withdrew something. I got news for you. What you need is in arm reach of you right now. God has set things up just like what we see here. What she needed was just in arm reach. It was just a matter of what she's going to go for it and touch Jesus properly. Thank you, honey. Excuse me for a minute. Walk this young lady back over here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, you're looking real good today and every day. How do you do that? Well, I'll talk to you about it later. Come on now, you got to keep the marriage fresh. Yes, yes, yes. You know, just on a side note on that, I messed this woman up out at Washington Park last month when we were passing out the food because we had different stations. So my wife was over there working on one station. I was somewhere else. And so she was working with this other woman. So then I came over and I come to her. I'm like, excuse me, can I have your phone number? So she looking like, would you stop playing, Negro? So the woman looking like, she like, what is going on? And I'm like, why you treating me this way? You know? So the woman like, what? Like, give him your number. I said, that's my wife. I'm just messing with it. She's like, oh my goodness. Huh? So you got to keep it fresh. Glory. Determine every day to touch God in a way that honors him. Now, that's the determination that you have to make. Sometimes, watch this, some days you may not feel like it. I will almost guarantee you there were some other people who had issues just like this woman did that didn't even take the time to come out and try to touch Jesus. It's just too many people. I don't feel like going through all that. I'm tired. I had to work late last night anyway. They made all type of excuses, and therefore they kept living with their issue. Oh, glory. Understand that whatever you may be dealing with, there is a solution from God nearby right now. Somebody say right now. Right now. With God, solutions to problems and answers to troubling questions are always within arm's reach. Remember that God is never, ever holding back any good thing from you. Psalm 84, verse 11, I love this. He says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing is God withholding from those who walk uprightly. Thank you. Uprightly, though, a lot of times people would disqualify themselves and say, well, you know what? I haven't been walking uprightly. I did some things wrong. But here's the good news. In this covenant we have with God today, your uprightness is not determined by what you do, but who you belong to. So when you come in relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ, now 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for you and me that we might become now the righteousness of God. So God says, I want you to understand, I'm not withholding any good thing back from you. If it's good, God said, I got it for you. Question is, will you go get it? Will you go get it? Will you go get it? You see there in the notes, there's one way God has prescribed for us to properly touch and handle him. It's using the force of faith. One way God has described for us to properly handle and touch him. You must use the force of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. God, listen, you got to have it fixed in your head. God wants to reward you. How many parents do I have here this morning? How many parents? Just raise your hand. Thank you. Now, every parent in here, you understand this as a parent. You want to reward your children. You want to. As a matter of fact, you're if you don't watch it, your life can get centered around you trying to reward them. Now, we got a responsibility to reward them, but that's not what our life. Our life still should always be centered around God. That's how we'll be able to reward them greatly, too. So all of us want to do that as parents. So you need to understand your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, has that same kind of heart towards us. As a matter of fact, the heart we have towards our children, we get it from God. Yeah. So now let's begin to look at this force of faith. I want to give you five things on this, and you can use it as an acronym this morning. Here's the first one. If you're going to touch God properly, you must be fearless. Come on, say it with me, fearless. Don't allow feelings of fear to paralyze you from pursuing and embracing all that God is and the plan he has for your life. Some people experience and deal with paralysis through analysis. Just constantly mentally just like, well, what if, and never do anything because we wind up being afraid. Faith, if we're going to touch God properly, we cannot be, let me put it this way. No, I don't want to say it that way. We cannot allow fear to rule. You might have feelings of being afraid. So what? Get out and do it anyway. I think Joyce Meyer years ago, just said it this way. Said, just do it afraid then. Do it feeling afraid. You might feel afraid, but just go do it anyway. Don't let, the fear grip you. Again, so many individuals sat at home when Jesus came through town because they're fearful. What if it doesn't work for me? What if this? What if that? What if somebody see me? What? I mean, and just go through all this mental stuff that keeps them from experiencing what God has for them. You have to be fearless. Notice here what the Word of God says in Joshua chapter 1. Moses, tremendous leader, leads the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Just a tremendous man of God. Well, he's dead now. And notice how God begins to talk to the next in charge. He's talking to Joshua, and he says this, Moses, my servant, is dead, as if Joshua didn't already know that. But he's saying it to Joshua to say, get over it. Get over it. Moses is dead. You got to move forward now, and you got to move my people forward. You can't sit here and waddle in this. Move forward. You keep reading. It says, arise, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, And I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward, the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then watch this. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Come on, say it with me. Say, I will be strong and walk in courage. Come on, God was trying to tell Joshua, come on, you can do this. So you can do this. He said, be strong and be of good courage. In other words, be fearless. Be fearless and get out there and do it. Yeah, I know you may not feel like it sometimes, but do it anyway. Yeah, I know you may be, feeling a little awkward, but do it anyway. I can't tell you the times where, I've gotten up to minister, and felt, feelings of nervousness. Come on now, that's the nice way of saying being afraid. That's the euphemism. Oh, I was just nervous. Yeah, you're scared. That's what that means. You're feeling that way. Another times. So what? I just go ahead and do it anyway. Do it anyway. I'm telling you, it really is. When you really meditate on it, it's really a very daunting kind of experience. When you think about, everybody looking right in your mouth, are you talking, and you mispronounce a word, and people be like, oh, you have no idea the looks you get. People be looking at you like. You're just like, I'm doing the best I can. But you keep doing it. Doesn't matter how you feel. Fearless. That's why I believe that God told Jeremiah, says, don't pay attention to their faces. So when I see them looks like this, I like to look at people like that for a while. I just like look at them, see, they change that expression. Change it up in here. Lean into what the Spirit of God is saying. Be fearless. Now, I love this definition. You see it there in your notes where when it comes to courage. Courage is not the absence of feeling afraid, but the determination that there's something more important than what you're currently feeling afraid of. That's courage. See, watch this. Your family is more important than what you're feeling afraid of. People's salvation and victory is more important than what I'm feeling afraid of. So courage says, do it anyway, because I determine that's more important than how I'm feeling. Come on, you should give me a better amen right there. Amen. Here's the second thing when it comes to faith. If we're going to touch God properly, you got to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. Notice what you see in the notes. You cannot be passive and hope and only pray that things will just work out for you. That's not the way of the kingdom of God. This is not about just hoping and praying. Jesus said to that woman, daughter, your faith made you whole. Faith is very aggressive. You look over in Mark chapter 2, you'll see Jesus, referring to five men. It was a man, says he was sick of the palsy. He couldn't walk, so forth. He had four crazy friends who carried him on a bed, took him to Jesus' house, couldn't get in because everybody is in the house, all around the house. They said, we're going to take him up on the roof. They go up on the roof, and they realize what most people realize about roofs. There's no way to get in into the house on the roof. But they open up a hole, let the man down right there while Jesus is preaching, and then Jesus says this, oh, I saw their faith. See, that's aggressive. That's aggressive. Aggressive says, I will not take no for an answer. I will not. You should look at Matthew chapter, I believe, 15. That this woman from Canaan, this Syrophoenician woman, do not take no for an answer. Because quite frankly, in the kingdom, there's really not no. The no that you're hearing doesn't come from God. Glory. So here's a particular case. We have to learn how to be aggressive. Some of the disciples that walked with Jesus were very aggressive. James and John, you know, were very aggressive. Peter, very, very aggressive. This is how Peter gets out on the water when nobody else does, because he's very aggressive. James and John were so aggressive, they got the nicknames of the Sons of Thunder, because stuff was happening. One time they looked at Jesus like, y'all, you want me to call some thunder down and just, you know, burn up all these people in here? She said, hey, settle down, fella, settle down. They were aggressive. You cannot be passive, or let's put it in these modern terms. You can't be soft. Listen, if you're going to access what God has for you, you cannot be soft. You have to be aggressive. I coached my two youngest sons, their basketball team. It's a fourth and fifth grade team. And this one fourth grader came out to try out. I kid you not, this little fella is literally half my height. He's like this. No exaggeration. I'm just like, how old are you? Yeah, I'm in the fourth grade. I was like, you know, these are 9, 10-year-old boys. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, you came to try out for the basketball team. All righty then. This little fella has the biggest heart than anybody. I mean, I'm amazed when I start watching. I'm like, oh, my goodness. The second game we had, he had 6 rebounds. He's half of my height. He's almost half of some of the other kids. Like, there's some kids out there that's pretty big. The opposing coach was getting mad at his team. Like, how are y'all letting him get rebounds? Because he was being aggressive. The ball goes up in the air. He's just like, I'm going after it. I'm going to get it. Watch this. And this is something you have to deal with, you know, fourth and fifth graders. They wait for it to come to them. So he's like, no, I'm going to go get it. So while they're waiting for it to come to them, he jumps right in front of them and snatches it. And see, you got to catch that in the spirit. Stop sitting there waiting for it to come to you. Go on and jump out there and get it, praise God. And see, watch this. Some people do that. And they've jumped. Listen. Now, you may not want to hear it, but receive it. Some people have jumped in front of you while you were waiting. And now you're mad that they got it. It's your fault. All right, then, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Take it. Those who come alive with strength, take it by force. Here's the third part. If you're going to touch God properly, you got to be intense. You must be. And this has to deal with your focus. See, one thing about faith has to stay fixated. It stays fixated on what God says, not how you feel, not what religion conjures up, what God says. And now distractions come to try to get you off focus. Because once you get off focus, watch this, you get out of faith. It's really very simple. You get off focus, you get out of faith. So distractions come. Now, here in Mark chapter 4, verse 16 through 17, Jesus is talking and explaining the parable of the sower, and he explains this phenomenon that happens. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. But then watch this. Here's the reason why. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Listen, anytime you make a decision to believe what God says, pressure is going to come. Minister Kobe, come on down. Come on. Yeah, come on. Bring Emmanuel with you. God with us. Come on, man. Come on. God is with us. Dear God. Now, the moment, matter of fact, let me see here. Ashanti, come on now. Now we got a father-daughter right here. Now, the moment she decides, I'm believing the word. This is the word right here. I believe this word. I got this word. The moment she receives that word, the natural phenomenon that happens, it doesn't come from God. It's as a result of you trying to connect with something. Pressure comes to try to pry you apart from what you now say you believe, Now, a lot of people despise this. And a lot of Christians make the mistake and try to pray this away. You actually need this. Because this now helps you to fortify what you really believe. Listen, you don't know what you really believe until you pass the test for it. If you're believing something, you haven't been tested in it yet, you ought to be, now this is going to sound strange for some people, but you ought to be looking for a test. Like, bring it on. Come on, prove me. I'm telling you, I got this. Pressure is going to come. Now, when you stay in faith and you stay intense, you learn how to use the word that you believe to be your protection. Oh, boy. So when the persecution and affliction rises up, what do you talk about? You talk about what you believe. You don't talk about, now look at the pressure. Look at the pressure. Look, got a hoodie on. Look at the pressure. Oh, I can't take it. I can't take it. You don't talk about all that. You talk about what you believe. This is what I believe now. This is what I'm locked in on now. And if you want to get to me, you got to come through this word. And I got news for you. You ain't getting through that word. I'm telling you right now. It ain't coming through. That's where faith takes us. Praise God. You got to maintain your focus. Thank you all very much. Praise God. Glory to God. Give them a hand. Praise God. Stay intense. Fourthly, we're going to touch God properly. Trusting. You must be trusting. You must develop a confidence in the pure and loving character of God. Pure and loving character. God has nothing but good in store for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says it simply this way. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Have you ever had somebody try to tell you what you think? You know how irritating that is? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? How irritating that is? Well, you know, you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know this. But listen, I'll tell you what I'm thinking if you listen. But don't try to tell me what I'm thinking. Here's a particular case where it's almost like God's responding that way. Like, don't try to tell me. I know my thoughts towards you. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil. Thoughts of shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of place. I want to bring you to a place of a future and a good hope. That's what I want. Now, he said this under an old covenant context. Man, this is so powerful and enforced for us in this new covenant. It's amazing. God says, this is how I'm thinking about you. This is how I'm dreaming about you. I'm not thinking bad towards you. Ever. Paul says it this way in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate, come on, he didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? God is like, I didn't already pay the most expensive price. You think I'm trying to hold something else back? I already went to the top, the highest of heights of what I paid for you. So just understand this. I'm committed to your good, and whatever you need is in arm's reach. Now will you touch me properly so that you can get it? The last one is humble. Stay pliable and open with God. Stay pliable. Pliable has to do with our ability to adjust. You cannot grow if you don't stay pliable. In Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, you know, explains it to us this way. God is the potter, we are the clay. Now, I remember this very well. In high school, I had a fine arts class. I don't know how I got in that class. So we are making pottery and things. I was like, what in the world? How did I get in here? So we're making pottery. The only way to make pottery, though, is the clay had to be soft where you could manipulate it. If you couldn't manipulate it, it was done. To some degree, some clay had gotten so hard that all you could do was throw it away. Other clay could get hard, and over, watch this, a process of time, if you put water on it, enough water, it would begin to soften. God calls his word water. Yeah. See, you have to stay humble. You have to stay soft and pliable, because God is looking for us to continue to grow. Every day we should be growing. Every day. But the only way that's going to happen is if we touch God properly by staying pliable, being humble. Notice what your note says. Resist the temptation to become rigid, proud, and self-righteous. And that happens. It happens. It happens. I know it happens because I've observed it happen. I've observed it happen, and I've seen it happen in my own life. Amen. You become rigid, you become proud, and you start to become self-righteous. Stay humble. God says it this way, and James says it, you know, in the letter that he wrote to believers. Says, and he gives grace generously. That's what God does. He gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you want more grace, you exercise humility. This is an element of faith. This is a part of the process of touching God properly. Stay humble. Now, let me conclude with this element. Notice what you see in your notes. Don't let the growth and exercise of your faith stop at the place of receiving. Receiving just for yourself. Let your faith grow to the place where it's giving so that others can now receive and grow. That's where God is expecting for us to grow to. I have people, you know, ask me this question, numerous different ways throughout the years. You know, just like, well, you know, you know, what do I do? You know, where should I be? You know, where I can be fed, where I can be fed. And I get it, you know, because, you know, early on when we are young, we need that. We need it. We need a bottle. Come on, we need a bottle, and we need to be burped. Turn to your neighbor and say, he didn't mention your name. But we need it. I needed it. You need it. So far. But just like a child, there's this growth process. Well, you don't need the bottle anymore. You don't need the burp. I mean, I look up here at the top here, and I see Mama Brown up there, you know, with her baby. You know, I saw a blanket over her head, so I already knew what was happening. So now there's a burping process that has to happen. Thank you for helping me with my message this morning. And watch this, and we all understand that. So nobody's shocked, like, what is going on? Oh, the baby burped. Oh, what? That is so crude. Oh, the baby just burped. Nobody does that. Because that's what you expect. But now if I go over here at Impact Kids, where my oldest son is serving right now, you know, 14 years old, and I go grab him, and I pick him up, and I'm up here like this, patting him, and he burped, y'all going to be like, what in the world is going on? Put that big old boy down. Because he should have matured past that particular place. The ultimate place, I believe, obviously for our growth and maturity, is always identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love what he says in, oh boy, John chapter 4, I believe it is. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. It's to do. See, at some point, the transition has to happen from, okay, I'm getting this, to now I do this. And that fills me up. Just a little nugget on the side. Identifying with the woman with an issue of blood is okay. But don't let that become your final identity. In life, we all come by the pathway of the woman with an issue of blood. We're hurting, suffering, desperate for a fix. However, once we're being fixed, now use your faith to be a part of someone else's miracle. See, once you make the decision to embrace and receive Jesus as Lord of your life, and you start a process, you're in the process of being fixed. Now, I got news for you, because this is where religion messes up. Religion teaches you that you arrive at some point. Look, you're going to be being fixed until it's over. And you need to embrace that. Because if you lose sight of that, then you kind of come to that self-righteousness of, okay, here it is. I got it. What's wrong with the rest of y'all? That's where it takes you. That's where it takes you. But being fixed, though, is not just simply salvation, though. So I don't want you to get fixed on that. This really has to deal with the freedom element that you hear us talking about. There, you know, kind of our four vision points are, you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Everybody has to have a relationship with God. God's heart desire, listen closely, God's heart desire for everyone on the planet is to have a relationship with them. Every person, care what the ethnicity is, what country, whatever, every person, God wants to have a relationship. But when you have that relationship, there's a process that has to happen. So it's like with the children of Israel. God delivered them out of Egypt, but then he quickly realized something. There was a whole lot of Egypt still in them. Now, for you, it may not be Egypt. For you, I don't know. You know, it might be, you know, it may be, like for me, it may be, Detroit, a little Detroit. I got to get up out of me. Come on now. Just somebody say, just a little bit. Huh? Come on now. Yeah, I mean, you know, it might be a little East Side, Detroit right there. You know, you got to get up out of you. Come on. Come on. It might be some Miami Gardens. Come on, maybe some Opa-locka, maybe some Hialeah. You just got to get up out of there. Come on, maybe some little Haiti, little Havana, whatever. You got to get up out of there. Because if you don't, even though you've been delivered from one thing, you're still bound to it within. That's the freedom element. Now, for us, we understand that real freedom happens in the context of relationship. Listen, not just by going to church. If your mindset is, you know, let me go to church to be better, you don't understand what the church is. Truth be told, church is not a place that you attend. I'm gonna come back to that, because the Lord's really been dealing with me on it. It's not a place that you attend. And as long as you view it that way, yeah, the freedom that God really has lined up for you is going to avoid you. You're going to miss it. Real freedom happens in the context of relationships. See, just like at the end of January, we're going to have another season for about 13 weeks where we just intentionally connect. Why? So that we can continue to grow in freedom. Now, I've come of the opinion that some people just don't want to be free. Because they're just like, I don't have time for it. Like, huh? Kunta, what's wrong? You mean you don't have time to get up out of here? this is what we're supposed to be doing. Get out of there. But I get it. I know how religion has messed us up. So that's where those seasons come in for us. That's where our growth track comes up. That's even where our dream team comes in, where you have people that's committed to your developing ever increasing miracle. Every time you show up here, there's people serving you. There's people serving you during the week. You don't even know who they are. People praying for you. People, you know, doing different things, all so that you can continue to increase in God. Now, at some point, God is expecting for all of us, that includes you. Somebody say you. Okay, now say it this way, me. Yeah. That includes you and me, that we will grow to a place then that we then turn around and then start becoming a part of someone else's miracle. Serving them. serving them, serving the faith community on a Sunday, serving the local community, like what we're going to do, you know, in 2 weeks on Saturday, December 22nd. It's what we do because it's who we are connected with. So once you're in the process of being fixed, go back and touch God again. Now, all of us, well, you know, I can't say all, but I would assume most in here, you're in the process of being fixed. That means you have a relationship with God, and you're doing what Paul says here, working out your salvation. You're in the process of being fixed. Go back and touch God again. A lot of times when we think about, you know, this process of being fixed, it's just like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I got news for you. The readiness is not built upon your ability. I'm going to say this again. Please hear me well. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Just respond to the call, and the equipping will be there. If you feel like you are lacking the equipment, it may be because you refuse to respond to the call. Respond to the call first, and you'll find the equipping will come along with it. That's a good word right there. But now touch him, since we're touching God again now, touch him in the place where it changes you. See, now we want to change. Now this is not about the issue of blood. I need this. Now go back and touch again. Be like, God, what do you need from me? What do you need for me to get rid of? What do you need for me to grow in? What do you need from me? See, initially the focus of our touch is to satisfy our need or desire. Grow to the place that your touch focuses on what he needs. Receive that which makes you better and fit for his use. But you got to be forewarned, this requires change. And change, listen, a lot of people, you know, want to avoid change. Change is a part of the kingdom. You have to keep growing with God. Yeah. Amen. So, Father, we thank you now. Thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your challenge unto us. May we be those who rise up in faith and touch you properly. We don't want to be just like the crowd and just reaching out in religion and reaching out in hope and reaching out in emotion and tears. But strengthen us this day that we may touch you properly in faith, that we'll be fearless, we'll be aggressive, we'll be intense, we'll be trusting. And we'll stay humble. And we trust, Daddy, that as we do so, just like that woman with the issue of blood, we'll tap right into the glory and blessing that is you. We give you honor for this now. In Jesus' name.